Okay,
So
great. Thank you much.
thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for
for
having
having us.
us.
No problem. So the documentary releases today, right? On video on demand. So happy Pride. We're so happy about that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you guys talk about how you met and how the documentary came about?
I was working in the wake of the Pulse nightclub shooting. I was working on an anti-hate campaign that Jeanette was cast on. And our very first pre-production conversation was the morning after another mass shooting. And so I sent Jeanette a message and said, we don't have to talk. We don't obviously have to do pre-production, but if you'd like, we can just talk about what's on your mind. And we did. And instead of having a pre-production call, we had an almost 2.5 hour conversation and about what was going on for her. And I got off that call and I said, oh, I don't think this is going to be a one-day shoot. And when I went to Orlando, we did the same thing where we kind of made space to have really genuine conversations. And I took the time to find out what was going on with Jeanette, what was important and on her mind. And there were things that were also very important to me and what was going on. And throughout the process, I think that a lot of what made this film kind of coalesce were all of the places that we share and the way that in very different ways, each of us uses our own voice to try to heal and to try to make a difference in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's so the point that it was another shooting when you were right when, before you're about to start. It's just so I'm just thinking about that. That must have just been so difficult. And so Jeanette, how did you overcome your initial experience in Pulse, and how were you able to now to go out and because in documentary you do go out and have fun when you're in Puerto Rico. How did you overcome that anxiety?
It took a while. The process of that filming was several years, first and foremost. So eventually, right? Initially, of course, I had a sense of anxiety, depression. There was a lot that was going on, a sense of definitely lack of trust. And I think that the difference here that made the transition where we're going into the documentary. What made it easier is the relationship that Maris and I developed. It no longer became her being a filmmaker. Instead, a friendship was developed. And it was a little bit difficult at that time because, I'm a Puerto Rican woman, and this is a white woman right here. And my trust was absolutely not there. I just looked at her, at face value. And during that time, her being a white woman and me being a minority, I had a sense of, well, if this was a white club, that all of that would have been stopped earlier. But being full with, Hispanic and Black people, and for me to meet her, it was kind of like, what do you want? But what happens is that, as we continued to converse and she was asking about certain things, what Maris did very, very well is she allowed me an opportunity to enter into her life. And what happens is it no longer was a Puerto Rican woman and a white woman. Instead, it was a human being talking to another human being. And within that process, I came to realize that, wow, this is a woman who has been through similar traumas as I have been through. So what that did is it just definitely knocked down that wall, and it created a space for me to talk and converse with her. So, we developed this friendship where she had a sense of respect also for my space. This is my private life. I'm a very private person and a very protective person at that. So this was, a couple, several years of, her just in a sense following me around and me mustering the power to just get back into society and act normal. Didn't mean that I was all there. But I knew that I still needed to keep on going, for myself and most importantly for my son.
Yeah, I love seeing the relationship with your son. And you said, most importantly, strength is showing love. And I love the relationship between you and little Anthony. I'm older now, so I'm calling little Anthony, even though he may be like taller than me. But I feel like by the end of it, he shot up. I said, oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's about to turn 22. It's
Yep,
pretty
I'm 20.
exciting.
Oh wow. Oh my God. Tell him happy birthday. Can you talk about your gym? Because I was watching it and I was like, ooh, I think this girl gonna beat me up. You were moving that you were moving that tire. I said, she is strong.
So like, and then you know, when it comes to the gym, most importantly is the sense of love within the boot camp. So you know, one thing is what was really, really important to me, especially during the boot camps, is people of all different sizes, all different backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you love, who you with. It's so important for me to build a sense of community. My strength doesn't come from my physical appearance. It comes from who I am internally and how I relay that sense of love and strength to other people. You know, when you're seeing people push through, when I'm screaming at them and giving that sense of intensity, it's not only me talking to them, but it's me talking to myself. Because what happens is that, especially there's that part where it's like, you know, I want to be the person that I never in my life had. My strength comes whenever I'm pushing people to remind myself that I'm in a sense pushing myself because I don't necessarily have that person above me who's giving me that push that I'm giving everyone else in their sense of reliance. So I want to, you know, make sure that I wanted to make sure that I create an environment that anyone can come to, gay, straight, you know, overweight, skinny, you need muscles, but a place that creates safeness and a wholesome way to let go our sense of maybe anger, depression, sense of anxiety, and bringing a sense of love and wholesomeness. And I need people to feel that, you know, especially coming from someone like me. People, I can seem very intimidating to some if they see me, but then you see nothing but, you know, a woman who's going to demonstrate nothing but love. And you see that even when I'm meeting people for the first time is I'm a hugger. You're going to feel me. You're going to have a sense of love because you're going to respect me as a human being.
I understand. I totally
I
get
think
that.
that there's also something, that scene of the first boot camp in the film where you see Jeanette walk in and she gives a hug to a new participant of the boot camp who's never been there before. And she says, you know, hi, I'm Jeanette. And a few minutes later, you see this woman surrounded by everybody in the class, being able to have not only an incredible physical experience, but a real like emotional release as she's kind of letting go. And I think that's the power. That's the power of the work that Jeanette does. That's kind of the inspiration she puts out in the community. And I think that we all could use a dose of that.
We can. We can all use a dose of Jeanette. So my last
Exactly.
question. I know I'm running out of time. So my last question for both of you is, what have you learned about yourselves throughout this filming process?
Well, for me personally, I've learned that trauma is always going to be around. Okay. We all experience certain traumas. What I've learned in the process is learning of myself much more, my strength and my love, my relationship with God. Where I am today is much different than where I was in a spiritual sense back then. I had a sense of anger. I've found ways to release my stresses in a wholesome way, and most importantly, as a leader, guiding my son with the importance of always knowing how he feels. And I think that when we create spaces where people can truly express themselves, that's part of the healing process, giving people the opportunity to be vulnerable, whether male or female. And I've just made sure to create those spaces, you know, for myself, for my friends, and anyone who's around. The healing process will always continue because there's always going to be triggers. There's always going to be your down moments. I walked into the Pulse Club this past Saturday. They finally gave us the opportunity 9 years later to walk back into the club. It was a very emotional, anxiety-filled day, but I am beyond. I felt that I needed it for myself. Not one can do that. It was a way for me to leave. I left my note on the floor. I left my flowers on the floor where I was standing. Being that the floor was actually missing in that section due to all of the blood, so they had to rip the floor off there. It was a very emotional state. I was there with Evans, but that was part of our healing process. So 9 years later, So are there triggers in some things? Yes. Will everyone experience some form of trigger? But now we rely back on the communities, those who were around us, those who had strength, and most importantly, us always having a voice. You know, it's okay to heal. We don't want to forget, right? We don't want to
Right.
forget. The part of the healing process is still talking about it, especially for me in my case.
Yeah.
And I think that the film is about resilience and it's about coming together more than anything. And that I think Jeanette provides an example of incredible strength. And that strength is also about being able to lean on others and being able to really reach out to community. We can't do this journey on our own and we shouldn't be trying. And so really what I take from this process is how much we need one another, how much if we try to center our healing on love and community and helping our neighbors, even when we're in a hard time, that we will all be in a better place.
I love that. So thank you again for taking the time to speak with me. I think everyone should see this. It's a very inspirational story. So you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.